Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather in your house and be able to open your word. Please be with us now. Help us to learn from it. Help us to grow closer to you. Help us to build our faith and help us to share it with others. Let all of it bring honor and glory to you as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Bible study from A to Z. A new word tonight. Blessing. I have a definition here which reads, blessing, to bless, which meant to fill with benefits, either as an end in itself, or to make the object blessed a source or further blessing for others. God is most often at least the understood agent of blessing in this sense. In another sense, the word could mean to praise, as if filling the object of blessing with honor and good words. Thus, individuals might bless God, while God also could bless men and women, as we'll see when we get into Genesis here. And persons might also bless one another, or they might bless things as well. So, when you receive a blessing, it can be a form of prayer for benefits to come to you, or in receiving a blessing could be receiving that very thing that is a benefit to you, such as the Lord may bless you with good health, with prosperity, with protection, with material things, with spiritual things, with powers, with so much. Or you might bless someone else in the sense that you're actually praying for them that the Lord bless them. Or you could bless your children, as we see here, as Abraham and as Isaac and Jacob and so forth wind up giving and receiving blessings of their material gain, their inheritance. So when you pass away and you leave your inheritance to your children, that's in a form of you are blessing them with that. Sometimes it doesn't turn out to be a blessing, but that's a whole different subject. All right, the word blessing, let's pick it up first here in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, let's pick it up in verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God blessed the animals and blessed Adam and Eve. And that blessing goes to all animals and to all mankind. On over in chapter 2, we see here the continuous expression of the creation and rolling into day 7 in Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. Now that's an interesting form of the use, or I should say, that's an interesting use of the word blessed to be applied to a day. And He blessed that particular day, which means that He would pour out special things, special benefits, special purposes for that particular day. And He created the seventh day, as the Lord says, for man, not man, for the seventh day. So have a day to set aside where you wouldn't have to work. It's important that we take that into consideration when we're planning our activities and efforts and so forth. As the Lord pointed out, if there's something vitally important and has to be done on that day, go ahead and do it. But that you should, and we know that it would be way better for us, for our health, if we would take a particular day to have off and to just rest, be away from the work. An activity that isn't too exerting even. Just take some time off. Let your body recuperate a little bit. And as we know, it says here, the seventh day. You get some people that really get dogmatic about it and saying the Sabbath is Sunday. Sunday is the Sabbath. You can't work on Sunday. Well, Sunday is the first day of the week, not the seventh day of the week. And we use the Roman calendar, not the Jewish calendar anyway. So if you want to get really technical and really dogmatic about it, you'd have to go back and find out what the accurate day it actually is. And I don't know if anybody could even tell you that. And then you'd have to honor the seventh day of the week and make sure it was that seventh day. If you use the Roman calendar we're on today, that would be Saturday. That's why you have a denomination that does honor this Saturday as the Sabbath. But we choose our Sabbath day, which Sabbath means holy day, as being Sunday, because that was the day as we commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is our day that we choose to honor as a Sabbath or holy day. So He blessed that day, and if we apply that to us using Sunday as our Sabbath, and He clearly blesses Sunday as we use it to receive even more blessings from Him on that. So, a lot to think about there. And some folks say, well, you can't work on Sunday. Not supposed to work on Sundays. And like, well, wait a minute. We got piano players that play music on Sunday. That's work. You got teachers that teach on Sunday. That's work. You got preachers that preach on Sunday. That's work. Are they all supposed to take a day off? No. So don't be too dogmatic when it comes to time to this attitude of work and don't work when it comes to the Sabbath. But He clearly blesses a day for us. He tells us that we should honor that day and to set a day aside for rest and recuperation, as He gave us the ultimate example there. And we can be blessed in that. All right, we'll ride into the next set or next use of this as God blesses an individual over in chapter 12. And here we see the Lord prophesying and giving a blessing to Abram, whose name was Abram at this time, who later becomes Abraham. But in Genesis chapter 12, pick it up in verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in these shall all families of the earth be blessed. This one is awesome here, and the first time that he mentions a couple different prophecies. That he would become a great nation, great meaning very large, and of course you consider the 12 tribes of Israel and all the millions and millions of people that were born as a result of Abraham and his descendants, that would be a very great nation. And here where it says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. The world should really take a close look at this and understand. This applies to all the children of Israel. You are not to go up against the children of Israel, because this would fall into that. You curse them, you're going to have the Lord against you. You bless them, you're going to be blessed of the Lord. This is what our country, for all these years that we've been established, is most of the time, had leaders that would honor this and try to assist the nation of Israel any way that they could. And this country has been blessed for that. And you can see times when this country hasn't been so well blessed. It makes you kind of wonder, is that sometimes when we haven't been such great friends with our Israeli families? But it clearly says, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And then the next section here, he gets into a prophecy about Jesus Christ. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That means in his bloodline, in his family tree. Because you follow it back from Mary and Joseph, goes all the way back to Abraham. Of course, Mary being the important one there, the actual bloodline going back to Abraham. Because the father of Jesus Christ is the Holy Ghost, of course. But the official inheritance, you might say, of the throne of David would come by way of his stepfather, Joseph, which goes all the way back to David. Which goes back to Abraham and Abram at this time. So we see the other use of bless in that. All right, now turn over to 17. And it continues this about Abram, now being known as Abraham, in Genesis chapter 17. Pick up in verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. These promises of what he's given him, big family and the possessions of the lands, those are blessings. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money, or any stranger which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, the soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. All those promises, all that blessing, still coming to Abraham and Sarah. Even as we know from the history here, they were promised a son, and then they got impatient, and they had that child by Hagar, Ishmael, who the Lord says would be against all nations and all nations against him. But yet the Lord is still blessing the descendants of Ishmael, and they do prosper. They are very great nation, as it says, because of the great numbers of them. And Abraham and Sarah had Isaac, the promised son. All right, now turn over to 18. He reminds Abraham here in Genesis chapter 18, verse 18, about the prophecy of all nations being blessed, which would be Genesis 18, verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Of course, that's a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ by the bloodline through Mary all the way back to Abraham. All right, now flip over to Genesis chapter 22. Pick it up in verse 15. An angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Pause here for a second. This is the event where he had been told to take his son Isaac up to the mountain and to build an altar and to sacrifice him up there. And he went through the process, and just as he reached up to kill him, in verse 10 of chapter 22, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And then you see that he continues in verse 17. That in blessing I will bless thee, And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Of course, this is all the promises, not all the promises, but this is our some of the promises that we have seen fulfilled. Them possessing the land that was the enemies of the Lord, now they possess it. Even today, they possess part of what was once given to Abraham. And it continues in verse 18 here. It reads, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Of course, there again, another reminder of the bloodline of Jesus Christ back to Abraham by way of Mary. In Genesis chapter 27 here, we continue these blessings coming to family members. Reads, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me." As you know, Esau was a hunter. Jacob was a farmer, you might say, and Esau was the hunter. "And make me savory meat that such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." So he wanted to give him the blessing, and give him the inheritance, give him, pass the authority on to him, you might say. But his wife wasn't too keen on that idea. She liked Jacob better than Esau. Jacob was the mama's boy. And she decided that she'd come up with this scheme, as we see in verse 6. "And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. Now, Jacob was younger by just split seconds, because Esau and Jacob were actually twins. Esau came out first, and Jacob had a hold of Esau's heel as they were pulling Esau out. Jacob was hanging on and coming right out after Esau. That's why the name Jacob, because the word Jacob means grabber. Rebekah took good raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son, and she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon his smooth of his neck, and she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. Now Esau must have been a pretty hairy fella for his mother to take the hide of a goat and figure that's going to feel like the skin of her eldest son. But that's what she did. It actually worked, as we see. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless thee. That thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Just flat out lied to his daddy. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, and I will feel thee, my son, whether thou be my son, my very son Esau, or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And we'll continue this and see how this further unfolds, stirring up a lot of trouble, but yet still winding up being part of the fulfilled prophecies. So it makes you kind of wonder, when you look back at time, see how many little simple events have taken place. Some of them not quite so simple, but singular events taking place that have changed so much through history, as we see in this one here. But we'll continue this and see how this further unfolds next time. But right now, let's go ahead and close. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It is so powerful. Even the historical events from so long ago, how they can apply to us. Help us to learn from those and help us to grow closer to you through that. Encourage us to be out doing the work and receive all those many blessings you have in store for us. All laid out right there for the taking. Help us to do that. And help us to share those with others. Lead, guide, and direct us as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.